Well, what a blessing. Thank you very much. I love songs that lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking last night as we came into the service, the Bible says enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And that's exactly how the church started off last night in the service and praising the Lord. And I like to be in a place that will make much of who he is more than what we are. That's for sure. Thank you very much for that and just the emphasis on praising the Lord and the thanksgiving. And I really do appreciate that. Every personal spiritual development class and pastoral class I'm teaching right now at the school, we just try to begin with thanksgiving because I'm convinced we're not as thankful and as often thankful as what we really ought to be given how blessed we are. And so thank you, Brother Tidd, for the theme and for the opportunity as well to preach, and sure look forward to getting into it. Glad to have my aunt, great aunt, and my cousin here today. I lives in the Indianapolis area, and so really thankful that they could be here with us as well as a guest, and so thankful for that. Having grown up just down the road in Kentucky, Indiana is pretty close. Now, we go back and forth a little bit, as far as that goes, but I sure thank God for the opportunity to preach here this morning. Take your Bibles today, if you would, please, and turn to Joshua and chapter number 4. If you would, Joshua and chapter 4. Enjoyed the message, Brother Webster. Thank you. Love it. It was very, very helpful. And Brother Wayne Hardy as well. Just tremendous that we get to be fed like this. It's so helpful for us to get realigned with what God wants us to do and recharge. Well, Joshua 4, if you'll stand in honor of God's word here this morning, we'll read a few verses together. Joshua chapter number 4, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. Joshua 4 and verse 1, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared, of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones, then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Now let's drop down to verse number 19, and this reiterates what we just read, and gives God's stated purpose for having done this. It says, and the people came out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, watch this, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Now, notice verse 24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. That ye might fear the Lord your God forever. This morning I want to preach to you and challenge you. I know that many of you have preached from this passage, no doubt, a number of times. And I'll give you a little background to why I believe this is what I'm supposed to preach here this morning. But spiritual milestones. As spiritual leaders, we are to lead to these spiritual milestones and from these spiritual milestones. God, we pray one more time that you'd bless. I sure want your help, invite it, need it, desire it. God, we know that our role as spiritual leaders is such a great task and such a great blessing. I thank you for calling us into the ministry. And God, I can't help but think about those that have spiritual milestones in their lives because of spiritual leaders that are here. And we thank you for those. But God, we want to look ahead now and think about the fact that more are needed in the lives of members of the church. And God, in lives that we don't even know. People that we'll never meet, even as Brother Webster mentioned, in terms of missions. And certainly this passage lends itself that direction. That the people of the earth might know, dear God, that your hand, that it is mighty. And that we might fear before you, dear God. I pray for your help in preaching. I pray, God, for the others to preach as well, that you might continue to bless. Thank you, dear God, for the Lighthouse Baptist Church and their kind and generous ways and the way that we've been treated and encouraged already. Dear God, I thank you for it and pray that you'd bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Certainly in our own country, we have memorials that mark a significant time in our own history. In our own nation, I think about Plymouth Rock. I've had privilege to go there in that area to see Plymouth Rock, and then also Iwo Jima, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and Gettysburg. Many of you have been to these different places, and they stand as really mile markers or milestones in our own history that mark a significant event that took place that we ought to remember. Now, let me just give you a background as to why I'm emphasizing this here today. This past summer, I had occasion to go to Indian Creek Baptist Youth Camp with our teenagers. And the significant blessing of this is that although it wasn't the same campground, it was the same camp, group of churches, many of whom who are here today, that were joining together as a camp when I was a teenager. And some of those same men are here and are still serving the Lord and leading that camp to honor God and be a help to young people. And I thank God for that. Brother Wood has been so involved in that camp and leading it. Tid mentioned last night that he's a mentor to him and like his dad, and so I'd have to think he'd be like my granddad, and so I tell you, Brother Tid was a part of that camp. Brother Pierce, Brother Salazar, and on I could go. Some of these men judged me as a young man preaching for the very first time at that camp. I hope they're not doing it today. It was so significant to be there with our young people, and I'd been there before with them, but you know what God does in a camp. It's a milestone. It marks a place. We were going at the time to Camp Chautauqua. And on the right-hand side of the pulpit, I knelt down, Brother Tommy Stone having preached. August 1st, 1991, surrendered to preach. Amen. Prayed with my youth pastor, who became my father-in-law. That worked out well. I'm looking back here. Noah Broughton's here today. I didn't know he's going to be here, but he's been a part of the Camp Canaan. And I went there as a junior. I just thank God for the spiritual leaders that God has put in my own life that gave me some spiritual milestones that I can go back to now, and I can see what God's done at that camp, and not just the camps, but also Grace Baptist Church in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and Marvin Carson, my parents. You know, when you start adding all this up, it's just overwhelming. Sunday night, I preached out of Psalm 118, and how that says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good, for His mercy endureth forever." You know, a lot of things in this life don't last forever. Your car won't last forever. Your tires won't last forever. Your hair won't last forever. But God's mercy will last forever. I've certainly been a recipient of His goodness. You know, when you recount it, like add it all up again, what you want to do is you want to recount it. You want to tell others about it. And All that God's done along the way. And so Thursday night of camp, where I was headed with this, is Thursday night of camp, Brother Bailey, Seth Bailey, which that's a story in and of itself, as our youth pastor, he said, "Well, Brother Jason, would you give the devotion to our teens Thursday night?" And so I agreed to do that. And almost instantly, I just thought about this chapter and the milestones. And so what we did is I borrowed a large landscaping stone, and we were sure to put it back there at the camp. But I had one of the young men bring that in. It was a really big stone. I didn't realize how big it was, but I knew I wasn't going to be able to dig it out of there. And we got one of those stout guys to carry it in, and he carried it in on his shoulder just like they did here in this text. And I had him lay it down there, and I said, "You know, God's done a work." And really, He did, Brother Wood. I'm telling you, it's still going. What God did, God really used Brother Park Sutton in preaching to our teens. And they came home, and I mean, things have been different, not just for the first couple of weeks, but I mean, we're seeing some ongoing things, I believe I can say to you. And I'm thankful to God. And I just challenged them that night to say, "You know, God did some significant things in here in your life, and someday, you know, maybe 20 years from now, when you're, you know, 20 years older and you've got kids and you've got a wife, then maybe you'll be able to come back by here at Indian Creek Baptist Youth Camp and you'll show them this place where you knelt down, and like this will be like a milestone in your life, a place that you remember and can recall and say, here's where I made a decision either to be saved, or here's where I surrendered my life, or here's where I determined," as he preached that week about purity, "here's why I committed myself, a milestone." I said, "You know, this is so significant, you might even pick up a piece of gravel." So I don't know if we need to pay for all that, but several of them brought back pieces of rock and such to be a reminder. And one of them's sister said, "You know, you ought to put that in your purse. And so if some guy tries to, you know, make an advance on you, you could use that stone, you know, to knock him back." And so there's several uses for a milestone. But what I had in mind was really that, you know, here you are about to come into adult years, and you've never been an adult before. Well, that was deep, wasn't it? They're coming to some stages of life that they'd never been before, and they're about to face some things, some battles in life that they've never faced before, and they needed something to come back to. To be able to go forward, they had to have something to come back to. Some milestones. I think about the people of Israel as we turn our attention now to the text and the people of Israel. Certainly were at a transitional time in their history, weren't they? As they were having been brought out of Egypt and having spent 40 years in the wilderness. And now listen, they were about to go, and even says these words in chapter number 3, you've never been here before. You haven't come hither before. And they were coming to a place that they had never been before, and they were about to face battles that they had never faced before. And listen, they were of a generation that did not see the Red Sea. Some of them had never seen that parting of the Red Sea. And it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough that previous generation had experienced the mighty power and seen the mighty hand of God. In their generation, they needed to see it for themselves, that God was not just the God of the past, but the God of the present, and that He would also be the God that would lead them into the future. They needed to know that. They needed some milestones. I want to focus on this morning from this angle. A sobering thought that the milestones in the lives of God's people today depends largely on us as spiritual leaders. Whether or not there's going to be some more 15-year-old boys who will surrender their life to preach. Whether there will be more that will be saved. Whether there will be more that will say, that's where I made a commitment. Depends on how you and I lead. One of the young ladies, just as we're getting started here in a new year at Heartland, came up to me and just has expressed tons of gratitude and saying, just thank you for what you're trying to do. And here's always my reply. I'm just trying to pass on what's been given to me. It's all I want to do. I want to honor the Lord, but I want to try to pass on to the next generation what's already been invested in me. Milestones are needed today. People are going to be facing things in life that they've never faced before. They need a milestone that marks a place where they were saved or where they were baptized or where they began to grow spiritually or where they saw God at work in their life or where they surrendered their lives. And listen, I believe today that these stones still speak. Amen. They still say something to us today. I thought about that in light of when Jesus was coming in with the triumphant entry into the city there around the Passover time as he's about to give his life, and the people are crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And basically they're quoting out of Psalm 118, and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the spiritual leaders of that day said, why don't you tell your disciples to quieten down, to stop, and to quit saying what they're saying? And here's what Jesus said, if they stop, the stones will speak. The stones will cry out. Well, here we have some spiritual stones that are crying out, and they're saying some things to us in 2014 if we'll listen. They're still speaking. Joshua led the people to the place of surrender to the Lord, and he exhorted them, listen, don't just sharpen your swords. You need to sanctify your life. This was a daunting task for him. Moses, of course, had passed off the scene and a new leader had been installed. But I like this morning, that the installment of the new leadership did not mean a new direction. They were to continue in the same direction they were headed, only with fresh zeal and energy and devotion to God. Joshua had to be sensitive to God's leadership in his life, and Joshua most certainly was facing an impossible situation. Listen, it says in chapter 3, and we're not going to take time to do all the background here because I know that you know that, but it was at a stage in time in which the Jordan River was flooded. It wasn't just the normal Jordan River that may have been about 50 to 100 feet wide in certain spots, but now it can be up to a mile wide. I mean, it was very, very wide in this flood season. As I did a little study about that, it was just the odds against them were almost insurmountable. But it seems like when God's about to do something, that's what He does. He just pours it on. to make it so impossible that somebody's not going to come up with some scientific theory to say, well, probably an earthquake took place and the water got diverted and that's how this happened. Like those who say, you know, well, the Red Sea really wasn't that deep. I mean, it was only like ankle deep to knee deep. I think that if that was the case, which it's not, but if that was the case, that's still a miracle. Because God drowned a whole Egyptian army in ankle deep water. No, God made this very clear that there's no way that you're going to be able to do this. It was at flood stage. And then you think about the immense amount of people who had to get from point A to point B. And you read in chapter 3 how the people passed on hurriedly. They got through quickly. No, I mean, what would you do? This is awesome. No, I think at this point you're thinking, I hope this doesn't give way. Come on, it's our turn. You know, and you're, come on, go, 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 go. That's what they were doing. Great people of faith. But, I mean, you think about what they've got. Behind them, they have a wilderness. Right now, they're in the midst of the Jordan River, and it's dry. And on the other side, it's enemy territory. Would they, I like what the Bible Knowledge Commentary says, would they hesitate in fear, or would they advance in faith? The priest had to be first. The priests were first. They were to carry in the Ark of the Covenant representing the presence of God, because we can't do anything except the presence of God goes before us accomplishing it. And so, but they had to come. The priest had to be the first in, and the priest had to be the last to leave. Sounds like a pastor opening up the church, doesn't it? Sounds like what we do. First one's there and the last to leave. He brought him. He said, now listen, when you step in the River Jordan, there's faith right there. When you step in the River Jordan, then the waters will part. And so that's exactly what happened. As they came and they stepped into the Jordan River, then the waters were cut off and they had dry ground to walk through. And God had told Joshua in chapter 3 that as you come through, you designate 12 men representing each tribe of the children of Israel, and each of them are to take a large stone and bring it through on the other side. Now, I've heard and read that story, and I just thought, well, probably once they get to the other side, that's where they set up the memorial. But rather, as you read, don't we overlook a lot? As they were instructed by God, they set it up at their first camp. The first camp was at Gilgal, 8 miles. 8 miles. Why Gilgal? Well, Gilgal became the base of operations. It became the base from which they would do everything that they did. So here's what was happening. As they had these 12 stones and they picked them up, and of course we know also that Joshua put 12 stones in the midst where the priest's feet were standing. He put stones there to remember that's what God did. And then as they set it up at the base camp there in Gilgal, then every operation that they did virtually, they would always come back to Gilgal. Before they faced something new, they would come back to see what God had already done. Can't you imagine that as they were getting ready to go to Jericho, that they just had to look back at those stones? You know how a football team maybe going out of the locker room and going out on the field, they'll hit smack the top of the, you know, the beam as they're going out. I think if I was an Israelite, I'd come over and I'd touch a stone and then I'd go. You know why? Because these stones are saying our God worked. And if our God worked then, he can work now. They needed that. They needed to know that. They needed that encouragement. God said, here's the purpose. It's for you. I want it to be an encouragement for you. But I'm not just thinking about you. I'm thinking ahead. And I'm thinking about future generations. And you'd say, oh, this was so amazing. This is so powerful. They never forget this. Haven't we? Within the generations, have you ever heard of the National Monument of the Forefathers up in Plymouth? It's an amazing monument, but our nation is so far removed from that, they don't even have a clue about it. That you would think, oh, this is so amazing. They would never forget, and they would always tell their kids, do you know what we did? We walked through just like our grandparents did, just like our parents did walking through the Red Sea. I'm telling you, it was absolutely amazing. You'd think they'd never forget.
but they needed a monument. They needed a milestone. So that when their children ask you, "Dad, what mean these stones? What's this monument all about? What's these pillars? Why are they all piled up?" I mean, you see 12 stones piled up like that. That doesn't just happen. Something significant took place there. And then, listen, here's what was supposed to take place. It wasn't that the daddy said, "Okay, you better go talk to the Levites." Because it wasn't that they could have said that, because, listen, they're the spiritual leaders. They're your Sunday school teachers. Go talk to them. No, God said, when they ask you, you tell them. You teach them. Hey, listen, here we are, spiritual leaders, and this is good for us to be here that we might be reminded. But listen, we need to so do ministry that it becomes a part of individuals' lives individually, because it wasn't just one tribe that benefited from this, but it was all 12 tribes, and every one of them was supposed to be able to come to their daddy and ask their daddy, "Daddy, what does this mean?" And daddy was supposed to teach a spiritual lesson there. What are these stones saying? So inspired by Brother Wayne Hardy using alliteration last night that I've got this alliterated. These stones represent God's power. Can you see that? I mean, think about it. "Hey, Dad, where did these stones come from?" Let me tell you. They came out of the middle of the Jordan River. "Oh, Dad." I mean, you know, dads are known for, like, telling big ones. That's what part of what we do as dads. "Son, I wrestled that bear down, you know. My great-grandpappy Daniel Boone, you know, I mean, all these things. And I mean, we work it up. "Oh, Dad, you're kidding." "No, son, seriously, this time I'm telling the truth." These stones were in the middle. Well, how did you get them out of the middle? I mean, who could swim down there with a current and dig? Who? No, son, you don't get it. There was no water. Well, who turned it off? God did. And they dug those out of the very middle. Listen, that was a testimony. It was a representation. It said to every generation of Israel afterward, it said this, "Our God is of great power." Great power. The impossible is possible through who He is. These stones gave a testimony that our God can bring you through some tough times. I mean, think about it. It was on the other side of the Jordan River. But on the other side, back on the east side of the river, they had been through times where they were lean and times that were difficult and times even that were disappointing. But these stones now on the west side, they said, "God can bring you through some tough times." Some milestones. God can do the impossible, and He works in every generation. Didn't you catch it there in chapter 4 how He said that's what He did here, just like He did at the Red Sea? But then also I thought about in 2 Kings and chapter number 1 and chapter number 2, there's another group several years removed under the leadership and the prophet Elijah and Elisha who go back to Gilgal. And at Gilgal, he parts the mantle, of course, parts their God, parts the Jordan River another time. And then Elisha is asked, "What do you want?" He says, "I want a double portion of your spirit." And then he took up that mantle. In fact, just a young man, Brother Lucas Hadley, he's an RA there at Heartland, and he said, "Here's our theme," and he took me to 2 Kings, and talking about that double portion, and that's what they want. And they're saying, "We're looking at the generation before us, Brother Jason. We see God greatly using," and he mentioned men that God is greatly using. And he said this, he said, "With all of our heart, that's what we want. To be used of God." And that's what Elisha did. He took up that mantle and he smote the Jordan River and it parted again. Hey, listen, the same God who parted the Red River, who parted the Red Sea, sorry. Some of you came across the Red River, but you didn't part it, I'm pretty sure. The Red Sea and the Jordan River ended in the life of Elijah and the life of Elisha. But listen, not only was it Elijah and Elisha that was there, there was also the school of the prophets. And they were watching. Can I tell you that there's a Bible college in Oklahoma City that is very, very interested, and if they could, they'd be skipping class right now to come here. You know why? Because they want to know, what is God doing in the lives of the men of God? They want to see, do these men have some spiritual milestones? Because they want to have their own. That means we need to have some. These stones represented God's power. But then also I want you to notice this. These stones represented the people's progress. God's power and the people's progress. Here it is on the other side. How did they get there? Not in their own strength. The only way they got there is because God did something back here. How is it that you're here today? How is it that these missionaries came and said, you know, I was saved and I surrendered to the ministry and God called? How is that? It's because, not because of their own progress, but because they did, watch, they did what God told them to do so that God could do what only He could do. And they made progress. Can I remind you today that we have people who are facing the Jordan rivers of life, and they're looking at it and they're saying, how in the world can I ever get over there? How in the world can I even cross? Even just coming to church is a big deal for them. It's a man named Brad Logan. First time he came to the Southwest Baptist Church, he didn't come all the way in. For almost 2 years, he didn't come all the way in. For about 2 years, he sat out in the parking lot and listened to the services on the radio. We have a radio that just broadcasts about a mile out so that the men that are working security, they need preaching too. He's a real big guy. And he said, Jason, I was so intimidated that I didn't want to come in. He didn't even know about the radio program. He just came there and sat in the parking lot and would not cross the door into the church. He said, but here's why I came. He said, because somebody came to my neighborhood and knocked on my door and left a track on my door. And he said this, if somebody came to my neighborhood, whatever they had must have been good. So he said, I came and I watched and I saw the people coming out of the church and I saw their expressions and I saw the smiles and I saw the joy. And he said, I need what they have, but I'm not sure how to get it. I don't know how many weeks it was, but finally a security person approached him. I don't know if his size was like intimidating to him or what, but they finally approached him and said, hey, you know, you're sitting out here in the parking lot. You can listen to the radio program. He said, I don't really want to go in. So he started listening, and he listened, and he listened, and he said, finally he came in. One day he came in, and Brother Ted Inman happened to be preaching that day, and he was preaching about how that a chicken gives some, but a pig gives all. And I'm not sure what all Brad Logan got out of that, but he said, I don't want to just give some. I want to give all. He was baptized about two Wednesday nights ago. Brother Seth Bailey, he's been discipling him faithfully. Brother Seth and Brother David Perkle baptized him. Both of them. Could have used a third man, I'm pretty sure. I just think, and he's eating it up. Oh, it's such a joy to see just the desire to want to grow. And you know what he's done? He works down at the county jail, and he takes, of his vacation time, he takes an hour off every Wednesday so he can come to church on a Wednesday night just to be there. I said, Brother Brad, on Sunday night, I said, hey, Brother Brad, did you take some notes today? He said, I got a page and a half. Taking notes, eating it up. But at first, he was afraid to cross even the threshold of church. There's people in the pews who have been in church a long time that are still frightened to cross the threshold of even ministry, becoming a soul winner. They're intimidated by it. What do they need? What does a Brad Logan need? And what does others need? What does a lady that came and she said, you know, it's been 20 years since I've been in church. Our kids have grown, and now our grandkids are coming to church through the bus ministry. And she said, it's been 20 years since I've been here. I came on this Wednesday night, and she hadn't missed very many services ever since. What does she need? She needs some spiritual leaders, some people who will help her to have some milestones in her life to make progress. Do you realize what we do, though, as spiritual leaders, as we get not just God's purpose, but also the people's progress, but also this, our purpose as spiritual leaders is this, to bring them to the end of themselves. To bring them to a place where they can't do one thing. Where they recognize, do you think, I mean, just putting my sandal now in the water is going to split this thing? Absolutely not. There was nothing those men could do. But Joshua, as a spiritual leader, heard from God and said, listen, I know this is maybe not going to make a lot of sense, but here's what God said to do. He said to go right up to the brink of the swollen Jordan River, and when you step in, God will part the waters. And they did that by faith. And listen, here's what we've got to do as we lead people in spiritual leadership. We're saying, here's what God wants you to do. Now, you can't do that. Say that again. In your flesh, there's nothing you can do about the Jordan River. But here's what God says to do. And it's a walk of faith. And they step in to what God's will is. And they see God do some amazing things. And when they see that happen, and they get through on the other side, here's what they come out with. A stone. A milestone. That they could lay there and look back on someday and say, I'm not sure how everything else is going to work out, but I know what he's already done. And if he did that there, he can do it elsewhere. And other people of the earth ought to know what our God can do. And that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, mighty. You've got some milestones, don't you? I know you do. Every one of you could stand here, and we could get emotional about it because of what God's done in our life. But the Greg Feinauer came to me on Sunday night after I preached that message about recount the goodness of God. He has an assignment in pastoral preparation class. Brother Hardy started this, my call to ministry. Just thought, I'm going to keep that in there. That's good. You're supposed to write a 3 to 5 page paper about how you were saved and what God has done to bring you to this point. He came up to me. He's probably, I guess, in his 40s. He said, Brother Jason, is it okay if I've exceeded that 5-page amount? Here's what he said. He said, being the age that I am, I have a lot more to talk about than what these 18-year-olds and 20-year-olds rather have. He said, but through tears, he said, Brother Jason, I thank you for having us do that assignment and then hearing this message tonight, because I look back on my journey and I just thought about all that God did to bring me where I am now and how he saved me and he saved my family. Now my parents are back in church and my daughter's being raised in a godly environment. God's called me into the ministry to use Ken Martinez and in Longmont, Colorado, and just went on and on just in the brief time that we had. Can I exceed that 5-page amount? I'm not going to dock him 1 point. I'm not going to give him any extra, but I'm not going to dock him 1 point. You know what he was saying to me? I've got some milestones. But you know why he's at Heartland? Because not only does he need to have milestones, but wherever God sends him, there's going to be people who need to have milestones in their life. And he's going to have the distinct privilege to be one who would try to be sensitive to God and step out by faith so that others could come through some tough times and get out on the other side and look back and say, God's been good. That's why we're here. Not just for ourselves, but to help others have spiritual milestones. Father, thank you. I want to praise you. Just overwhelming to look back at times, and that song that the choir sang last night, or the group sang, how that we've been blessed. You're so good to us, God. It's overwhelming. I want to thank you for the milestones. Lord, we pray that the earth may know this. How sad today. How sad, dear God. Help us to lift up our eyes into the field to see that there are so many others that do not know our God. Oh, Lord, help us today. Give us a fervency. Give us a sincerity. Give us a sensitivity like Joshua had as he tried to listen to you and obey you, and how you kept bringing him back to a Gilgal moment and showing him which way to go. And then when he got off course and disregarded spiritual leadership, that he humbled himself and got right back on. Oh God, that's us. That's where we are. We often fail, but as a song we just heard says, you never fail. And God, I can't help but think also and about those 12 apostles who stood on the day of Pentecost. No doubt symbolic to what you had in those 12 stones, one of them named Peter, but who stood and preached about the chief cornerstone and how the stone was rolled away and Jesus came forth alive. God, thank you. And that's starting the world missions movement, and we continue it today by faith. Thank you for what you've done here. In Jesus' name, amen.